I'd feed Heights a lettuce.
You'd throw lettuce off a cliff? That's much less scary.
Hello, Internet, and welcome to the HC Horrorcast. This is the Creative of the Town podcast brought to you by us over at HCHorror.com. I'm Jack, and sitting across from me is Jake.
No doy, Jack.
And sitting next to Jake, it's someone else who used to dance so good. It's Mark.
Hello. That grandma's choice in this movie. She has one scene, and that's her one line, and I
She gets it.
She is great. Yeah.
She understands.
For those of you unfamiliar with our Cracker Jack operation, we watch and review one horror movie a week, and then we get drunk and argue about it. And this week, we watched 2022's Slashback, which is stylized as slash and then a backslash and then back.
We'll talk about it.
And we will dive all the way into that real soon. And when we do, fair warning, we're going to spoil the absolute nonsense out of it. And it's a 2022 movie, so, you know, pay attention. And hey, we do have Patreon going, but we're not where your money should be going. So, as it has been for a long time now, all of our Patreon proceeds are going to keep supporting Planned Parenthood to support the bodily autonomy of women and other persons who can get pregnant. So you can head on over to patreon.com/ATOZHorror, support the show at your level of choosing, get some perks for your trouble, and know your money's going somewhere better than our dumb asses. And if you can't swing that right now or just don't want to, that's cool. We just appreciate you being here hanging out with us. And so hopefully you can have some fun in the horror world with us for at least the next little bit. And boys, you know what that means. It's time to do the getting drunk part. So that's gore. Let's do beers for fears, and I'm going to go first, because I had a very frantic beer selection at the bodega on my way sprinting back home, because we are recording a few hours earlier, or a very I was 3 hours off in when I thought we were recording.
Not the first time that's happened, but this is a slightly either. Different flavor of miscommunication than we've had in the past, so
yeah,
technically it's the first different. Time this has happened.
Yes, where I just assumed we were all talking about my time zone for no reason.
Yeah, look, honestly, this is more forgivable than when you just like straight up don't know the difference in hours.
When I do a 5 hour time difference instead of a 3 hour one for no reason.
Like this is fine. This is just a mind lapse where you're like, surely they were talking about Hawaii time.
I mean, everybody should be on island time, right?
Hell yeah, man.
Either way, I didn't have too much of an option. I grabbed some Elysian Space Dust IPA.
Sure. Technically, we don't know these are aliens, so I don't know. But
they call them aliens, and there's beams from the sky.
The beams from the sky is the only thing I'm willing to give you.
UAP, it flies off at the end.
You're not willing to give them that they call them aliens?
Does it fly off at the end? They just shine light.
Yes. No, there's a beam up, and then a light goes across the sky after the beam goes up.
Okay, fine.
And they do also call them aliens.
They do call them aliens, yeah. But I mean, like,
I like the part that you were like, I'm not willing to give you that.
No, I'll give you that. I just don't think that evidence is worth anything. Like random people observing something they've never seen before, like, oh, it must be aliens.
It's much more likely to be like an Inuk monster. You're right.
Yeah, they also call it that monsters thing.
Well, but they make it clear that it isn't actually that monster. Well, and the allusions to the thing make it pretty clear that it's an alien.
Yeah, it's an alien.
I think
it's an alien, dude.
It's an alien. I got space dust. And would you gentlemen care to guess how much I paid for this joke box of Elysian Stardust?
$14.50.
Remind me what a joke box is.
Six pack.
Six pack.
Oh, six pack.
Yep.
$14.50.
Why don't you just call it a sixer?
Because
I thought
it's
a joke
just
box
another
was
term.
Like a 10 or something. Like,
no, okay, nope. A joke box is six.
Why would it be a 10?
Because I thought that was the joke.
So the joke.
It's a joke how few beers are in a six pack.
Because what are you going to do with a six pack?
You can't do anything.
You can't do anything.
You brought beer for half a person to a party. Good work.
That's the joke.
Okay.
That's the joke box
joke. That is
joke.
A funny joke.
We've now told it on
the
air.
Kiwis can drink.
The joke is alcoholism there. That's funny.
Yeah.
Six beers. $12.75.
$18.45,
boy.
Boys.
$18.45. That's too much, Jack.
But I did it for you and for the listener.
Bodegas, man. Price gougers.
You know what's weird is they had like Lagunitas IPA was like $12.75.
Why didn't
so
you just
it
get
was
that?
Just the Elysian. Because Elysian. I have professional responsibilities, Jake. Jake, what are you drinking?
Damn.
What are your beers for these
I
beers?
Mean,
get off me.
I'm staying
get off my jock.
Yeah. I'm staying on the alien theme. I'm drinking a Woodland Empire beer this week. It's called Another World. This is a Keller Pils that they brew. It's one of their B-sides. I mean, aliens come from another world. They refer to other world-like things in the Inuk mythos. You could argue that it is so far away, it's like another world that they're living in. The main character wants to get away from that place to go live in the other world that is Ottawa with modern society. There's a lot of other worlds in this movie.
She wants to go. Where does she? She wants to go live in Winnipeg.
Oh yeah, Winnipeg, not Ottawa.
Living in
of all the Canadian cities, she wants to live in fucking Winnipeg. Winnipeg.
Winnipeg.
Big Jets fan. Has to be. It's the only reason.
I wonder what
the
market
hockey jersey
in
it is a Habs jersey.
There's both. So like that main dude has like that Habs sweater that's actually sick, like that starter jacket. And then I saw a Senators shirt too.
Okay, I didn't
but they're fucking. Shirt. They're up on like Baffin Island. They're so far away from anything. I don't. I mean, maybe where?
They're in another world. You might say,
and I did say that's my beer.
I like it. Mark, how about you?
I went a slightly different angle. I went more of like the kaiju side of things. So I'm drinking a Pugzilla. The main thing here is that this alien, I guess, if we're landing on that, is a shapeshifter that sort of takes over. It doesn't take over a dog in this movie specifically, but it does take over like an Arctic fox and a polar bear. And
caribou.
Yeah, exactly. A few humans. So I kind of liked the art on this one where the dog is a monster.
I never really looked at the can art on this, actually.
Can art's pretty cool. Well, that's Meowthra, which we also have.
Is it similar?
Pugzilla. Yeah, similar.
Oh, okay, I see the Pugzilla one now. Yeah.
So it's like an animal that gets turned into a monster. So I went Pugzilla. That's from Edge.
I like it.
Sure, I understand the angle.
It also just happened to be a beer that I had in my face.
Well, you didn't have to say that. We were fine with it.
Yeah, but I was filling the silence. You did that like FBI investigator thing where you intimidated me into giving away my
answer. I was very intimidating the way I said it. It was actually more the way I like lifted my brows slightly, but not as much as I could have.
It was
one of the keys to taking a good deposition is be very comfortable with silence and just be happy sitting there in silence because people freak the fuck out and tell you all sorts of shit.
Yeah, you get briefed on that too when you work in medical because that's what auditors do when they come in is they just like ask a very open-ended question and then don't follow up with another question for like a minute. Yeah. It's like a yes or no question. You're just like, yes. Well, and then you just sit there in silence for 30 seconds.
And they tell you more. And a lot of lazy lawyers just use a deposition as like, defending a deposition as like billable hours and don't really do much. So like they'll be looking at their attorney like, hey, what do I do? And they just won't do anything because they were too lazy and unprepared. It's
damn,
great.
I don't live in a world like this. Depending on what the what the rules are, I think I'd be really good at this. Because I'd be like, okay, fine. I'm going to get on my phone until you're ready for me.
I don't think you're allowed to do that.
Yeah, see?
You are very much allowed to do that. There's only a court reporter in the room for a deposition and the two attorneys and the party being deposed.
If you're going to be slow, then I'm going to entertain myself.
Nope. Oh. No judge at all. Which is why also, like, old school attorneys like and established big name partners will try to, like, intimidate young lawyers and often do out of, like, you can't ask that counsel, which is fun for me because I'm like, I'm pretty sure you haven't read the rules of civil procedure since 1992, and I know all of them. There's only 84 of them, and I know every single one. I'm right. You're wrong. Do you want to call a judge, or do you want to tell your client to answer the question?
I don't know.
Depositions are so fun.
And then they pee themselves. I got to go to the bathroom.
That sounds more like a wet fart than anything.
What are we doing? We're
a shart.
We just did beers for beers.
But drinking beers and talking about Slashback or watching Slashback is the only thing we did over the course of last week. And ordinarily we'd tell you about it. But as we record this, it's like the middle of January, which is close to the start of January, which means we need to do the horror release roundup.
It's not the middle of January. It's the 7th of January. Just so we have that in the clear so you know when
early
we recorded this.
It's early mid-January.
So okay. Where do we want to start, Jack? Do we want to start with Dark's Horses or what the best movies do right?
I know we haven't been switching it up. I know we haven't been switching it up much recently, but I enjoy the Dark's Horse followed by the top ones.
I think it makes I like that now too, actually. Now that we don't do the bottom ones, it makes more sense to just do Dark Horses followed by best ones.
Yeah, let's do that. All right, I went first for beers. I'll go first for Dark's Horse in that event, and I'll go with Skinamarink for my dark horse. We talked about this on the omnibus. This is a weird movie. I'm still not 100% sure how it's going to be released immediately, but it will at some point be available on Shudder.
So, okay. Right? Since I was the one who put all this together, I'll clarify the things that I've seen. It's getting a limited theatrical run in January, but it will come to Shudder. The date is still TBA. If I had to guess, it'd be like March. They're going to give it a little bit of time to breathe in cinemas because people seem to like this movie.
So. But it probably won't be on any streaming before it's on Shudder, right?
It's coming to Shudder first, and it'll probably be on Shudder at the same time that it goes to VOD if you want to pay to rent it and not pay for Shudder.
Yeah.
Right.
They have an exclusive on it for a certain period of time, at least. This one looks awesome. I mean, the trailer, like we talked about on the omnibus, it was mentioned by one of our listeners who's been able to see it already during an earlier festival run. It is making waves, and the trailer is... very unsettling. I like it.
The trailer is so unsettling.
It's an exercise in restraint, and I love it.
For the listener who doesn't know, this is supposed to be like two kids wake up and their dad is gone. Right?
Their dad is gone, their house is boarded up, and there's no light in it. And they're like walking around and the TVs have static. It's like very unsettling, avant-garde.
Yeah.
Minimalist, very minimalist.
It's just it's the obvious question, but how is this going to unfold in a feature-length format?
I think the entire feature-length film is going to be much like the trailer.
See,
and that might get to be way too much, which is why it's my dark horse pick.
Yeah, and I'm going to jump on, Jack. I agree. I'm really excited for this, and I don't know if slow burn's the right name for this. Like, I'm guessing there's burn.
Slow
here.
Burn implies that something is burning.
No, I'm guessing there's burn here because the trailer itself is so unsettling. It's just, can it maintain that, or is it going to like fizzle out?
I mean, at one point something does say come upstairs.
It does say that. There'll be an upstairs trajectory.
So they start downstairs, they end up upstairs.
Hopefully
that's burn,
the trajectory for the movie is up.
They got Michael Bay to direct the second half.
Oh, God. That's not what I want. That's not what I want.
Anyway, Mark, what about you? You got a different dark horse?
I do. So I went with The Price We Pay, which is a movie that I feel like I've seen a dozen times, two dozen times. It's a bank robbery, and then they're like on the run from the law, and they break down on a backwoods highway, and they find this farmhouse, and oh, shit, there's crazy things happening in this farmhouse. It's a torture factory, and then crazy, like, shit hits the fan. Here's the thing. It doesn't look that great, doesn't look that original, but Emile Hirsch is in it, and I did get a very good vibe from the trailer that this is going to be a competently put together version of that movie. Emile Hirsch needs to do more things. I kind of really like
Emile
watching
Hirsch
him
is great,
do stuff.
Man.
Agree with that. Mark, is this the trailer? As I recall, this trailer has at least one, but I think two different scenes that are, I think, evoking the famous Exorcist scene of the silhouetted priest. I remember there just being a guy silhouetted with a top hat and a suitcase, like when he's in front of the barn one time, and then one other time by a truck or something. I think that's this one.
You might be combining movies. The one in the front of the barn definitely happens. I think the other one might have been in Candyland, but honestly, neither of those. I went to Exorcist, but now that you mention it, like yes, that is I guess the shot they're sort of doing.
I love those kind of nods when it's just like a, you know, people might not even pick up on it, but like a clear overt nod to another movie. I think that's neat.
I like, there's a guy with a hat that's lit in silhouette. That must be The Exorcist, right?
I mean, but where the light source is, it is clear. I mean, it's a director, I think, having fun.
Yeah, it's probably, I mean.
And that shit's neat.
The way you frame a shot is certainly flavored by all the things you're taking, that you've taken. Oh my God, why can't I? Inspiration from. I couldn't
come
up with
the word inspiration. Yeah, but I don't even think it's like inspired by. I think they're evoking, even if it's just on
just
a joke for the director themselves.
Right, it's just part of the zeitgeist at this point. But yes, I guess. Yes, that is what that is. Okay. This one seems like a bank heist movie that turns into like barbarian style horror, or potentially like reverse home invasion type horror, intruders type thing. I think it could be, it definitely has the talent on board to provide us with a very competently made version of this movie at the start of the year. And it also is a generic enough screenplay that it could be absolutely fucking mind-numbingly boring. So could go either way. And that's why I chose it as my dark horse.
I like it. It also has the villain from the original Blade movie in it, right? Steven Dorff? This is the Steven Dorff one.
Oh my God. I don't even remember the original Blade movie. I'm a Trinity guy.
Deacon Frost, I think the name was. I'm going to pull this up. Anyway, I watched Blade not too long ago.
I like that every once in a while you just check in with Jack and he's watched a Blade movie within the last 6 weeks at all times.
Yes. I mean, that's a good character trait.
Yeah, sometimes they pop on Netflix.
That's
those movies
good
are movies.
That's a good character trait. That's a compliment, Jack.
I like it. Let's move on. Oh
no. I was sorry. I jumped the gun. Say what you were going to say because you're the
factotum. I was saying, let's move on to top one.
Let me go first because I'm contractually obligated to do this. And technically, this is like a bit off.
We have not pre-planned any of this, but the conversation that's about to happen is prescribed. I know the whole direction it's going to go.
Do
you? It's going to start with Jake saying it, and then you guys are going to shit on me. It's going to be a whole thing.
What?
I'm intrigued. I hope I play into this because that means I'm extremely predictable. But
here's how I saw it playing out. Jake was going to bring up The Last of Us. I was going to talk about how I'm into that, and it's like I like that it's starring Pedro Pascal, and I'm excited to see this intellectual property in the format for which it was intended, which is movies and not bad video games.
Okay, wait, hold on. Can I go first? I want to go first.
Yes. Yeah, Mark, you should go first.
Okay, my top one for the month is The Last of
Thank
Us.
Thank you. Because it was not mine. So, Jack, your vision was just for the wrong person.
It was just skewed.
I see.
It was skewed one to the left.
Yeah.
My left. Your right. Here's the thing.
Also my left. I think my Zoom flip stuff.
Oh, stage right then.
The director or producer EP of this is the one who did Chernobyl, and that is the one thing, and I think also was involved with Watchmen, and that is the one thing that is saving... The Watchmen was fucking great. Don't give me that. Don't shake your head at me.
That is one of the best miniseries.
Yeah, the Watchmen...
Oh, I haven't watched the miniseries.
Oh, the Watchmen HBO series.
Not the movie. Not the bad, long movie.
I also love the movie. We're not talking about those things.
Chernobyl was amazing.
Chernobyl was... Yes.
That is one of my favorite things ever.
It was unassailable. Yes. I think all of us agree that's like damn near a perfect 10 of a limited series.
Yes.
And I would be much more concerned about this being bad if it weren't for that. But otherwise, this is going to be appointment television. I love the...
Wait, is it a movie or...
I
honestly don't know if it's a series.
Oh, it's a series. I don't know if they have planned a second edition of it. Obviously, The Last of Us Part 2 came out, but... They could easily do a self-contained limited series, which is what the producer team has done before, right? All of them have been one season. So you could easily do that and tell a fantastic story. Pedro Pascal, I think they did a great job casting Ellie. I'm so fucking excited to watch this one.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to go ahead and sign up to be the guy who watches 8 hours of it and tells you whether or not it's good.
There's no world in which I don't watch this. Everything you've said, plus I fucking love Pedro Pascal. Incredible.
You hated the game, though. Famously, you are the one who shits all over the game.
It is a bad game.
Wrong.
It's not fun. It's a bad movie and a worse game.
Brawls!
It's a bad movie and a worse game.
Jeez. You haven't seen the movie yet. It's not a movie.
No, I'm saying the game wants to be a movie, and it takes away the good parts of a movie in so doing, and you're left with barely a game and not good movie.
What?
I mean, it was probably like top five best games of last generation, but whatever. We're not talking about that. That's fine.
I was right about how this would go.
Yeah, you nailed it. So what's your top one, mister?
what
movie are you going to tell us about?
Megan.
I like that.
Stylized as M3GAN. It looks so fun.
Why is it stylized that way?
They explain it because that was the thing.
Version 3 of the...
Yeah, it's something generation 3. Third
doll.
Generation Android is the 3GAN. Yeah. I can't remember what M stands for.
Okay, so third gen.
Yeah. That was the note that I made. Is
that's
I don't fucking
me.
Understand why it's a 3, because if they make a sequel of this, it's going to be like M3GAN 2.
Oh, please. I would be way more on board if that was the case. That's awesome.
M6GAN.
Well, I mean, Jesus Christ.
I am always dying to... Jake, I imagine this is part of your world, but I'm always dying to be part of the conversations of, like, follow-ups to things that had weird numbers to begin with, like the Xbox 3, PlayStation 1, version 2. Like,
the naming?
How do you...
My life? No, I wish it was more of my life, because I'm brought in...
PlayStation's fine. PlayStation, they just did a sequential order. It's the Xbox 360 followed by the Xbone.
There's a lot.
Followed by the Xbox Series X.
My part
is the Xbox
fuck
One
you,
Series
Microsoft.
S
in the
it's
world.
So bad.
My part in the world exists after those decisions are made, so we're just left to deal with the smoldering pile of shit that is the naming decisions that like the global business unit makes.
But
it's horrible.
I do genuinely hope it's M3GAN 2.
Oh my god, that would be. I mean, honestly, like own
That's
the
funny.
Dumbness of it. Yeah,
it's a funny joke.
You can
anyway.
Do it with a movie too.
Look, this like, movie whatever. is Chucky for the modern era, as the McElroy brothers would say, kind of. She's like an AI super bot, right? Megan is
and kills
people.
It's Chucky meets Asimov featuring Allison Williams, and I will sign myself up for
that. Yeah, it's going to be
8 days a
fun.
Week.
And I got to tell you, insanely huge marketing campaign has very much worked on me. Like, it's everywhere, and their social media teams just, like, post cheeky things and make fun of other stuff and, like, just post in weird random places, and I find all that charming and very fun. It's easy to do, but they did a good job of it. I'm looking. This movie looks like a ton of fun.
Yeah, this movie's going to be dumb as fuck, and I'm waiting for it to be free to stream somewhere in, like, July, and that's when I'll watch
it. Oh, this is a summer movie. It just happens to be releasing at the very beginning
scene,
of January.
The scene where she, like, is randomly dancing in a hallway is all you need to see from the trailer.
Yeah.
That tells you everything you didn't know, aside from the fact that she kills people.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
Much like Chucky. Yeah, just watch Chucky do some dumb shit, and that sells that right there.
Also, as a AI forced like robotics engineer, Allison Williams should know better than to say that your prime directive is to protect my child or my niece or whatever the fuck she is.
Yeah,
never tell that to a robot.
Also, I mean, look, I'm not here to shit on Asimov, but the laws of robotics are not laws in any way, shape, or form. They're just like rules a robot should have to be a good robot.
They're more like
guidelines, well, and even then, man. The story in which he presented those wasn't
or that they could never work.
That they couldn't work, and the whole story was that they were founded on that, and then they still failed because of how poorly those words or those rules were worded. Right? Wasn't that?
No, I'm not.
Was that
not,
the
yeah,
AI
I'm saying,
story?
Right. It's from iRobot, is where he
yeah.
developed the
oh,
laws
yeah,
of
sorry.
Robotics.
Sorry, iRobot, not AI. But yes, exactly. So. I mean, the whole point of that is that even
yes.
so, they still kill us.
Yes, culture has adopted them as, like, the laws of robotics, but Asimov presented them as, like, these are what we're trying to get robots to do, and it won't work.
This is confusing. I'm going to try and divide one by zero. BRB.
So, anyway, Megan looks fun and great.
Okay, Jake. I
mean, yeah, mine's...
Allison Williams.
I'm obligated to do this, and it's
yeah,
kind of a cheat.
Oh, hold on, sorry.
Oh, my God.
If Allison Williams is not in this movie, it plummets into my bottom. Into, like, the
no.
bottom ones of the
month. It still looks fun, and she's
yeah,
not
no,
the best part of the trailers.
I disagree with that.
Ooh.
She's good in the trailers, but she's not, like, there's not a ton of her in the trailer.
The fact that she was willing to sign, it's not so much that she's in the, like, it's the fact that she's
but
in the movie and less
Allison
that
Williams.
She's, like,
that's
doing.
Fair.
I think
I,
that
I mean,
her ability
yeah.
to evaluate a script is... has clearly proven to be pretty good.
Dolphinately and for sharks in on this one.
I don't know what joke you're making, but I think it's funny.
It's just an old sketch comedy from the internet long time ago. It doesn't matter.
Okay, pop back to Jake. Just teleport
are
back
sure,
into the
are
sentence
we sure?
you were
Are we sure
saying.
We're ready for me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so like I said, I'm obligated to do this. In our omnibus, I ended up picking VHS 85, but the other one that I had highlighted from the big list of 2023 releases was Infinity Pool, which is coming out right at the start of this year. We have a Cronenberg with Mia Goth. We've seen a lot of stuff that she's done recently. It's really
what
good.
What a run.
Alexander Skarsgård, also a pretty damn good run we got. I mean, we
it
haven't seen this
like
movie yet.
Built like a brick shit house.
Built like a
guy.
Brick shit house. This one seems really interesting. I mean, we have some folks that are obviously pretty well-to-do. I think this is a writer, and he's like looking for some inspiration. They go to a very out of the way place, and masks
well
and war
and
ensues.
Looking for money or something.
Yeah, well, it's inspiration for him, but yeah, he married well, and horror will ensue in this
well, at least
in this Mediterranean Isle. This is going to be pretty interesting. I don't know what direction it's going to go, but the tropes are there in pretty much every direction you look. So let's go.
I really liked Possessor, which was Brandon.
Possessor was fucking awesome.
Yeah, which was yeah. Brandon Cronenberg's debut.
Yes,
or at least like biggest big debut.
Yeah.
I was kind of on the fence on this one. Honestly, it seems like it's gonna be like a whole production, but
it does. The eye roll that Mark just did, listener, is I agree.
Like, there's gonna be like
it's a
lot to yeah. to this movie, but
For sure.
I'm fully with you on this one. It's certainly going to be interesting, regardless of how. What the like graph looks like of how interesting this is versus runtime.
It's also got Ziggy Sabatka from The Wire in it, James Ransone. It's gonna be great. The cast is too good.
I agree. At minimum, this should be good
for a movie that isn't a slasher. It also has really good masks.
True.
We're gonna have to see what happens.
It's a great pick. I think this is probably going to be one that will stick around. I think it's aggressive to... I mean, I know you didn't pick this as your top one.
It was right there, though. See, just to prove it. Like,
but
you see those highlights? See them?
Yeah.
Look at that.
I mean, you're holding it and moving it around. I definitely can't read what's on your phone.
Hey, the highlights.
You're highlighting VHS 85. And Infinity Pool. Now I see it.
Jesus.
Listener, he proved it to me. Boy, oh boy. It would be aggressive to choose this as your top one. 7 days into the year. The movie I'm most anticipating in 2023 came out on January, well, I don't even know, January 27th.
But I mean, it wouldn't be aggressive to pick it as your top one for this month.
No, and you should.
It
and
could
you did,
have happened, though.
Work.
I kind of disagree. Thank you.
It comes out today as we record this?
Maybe.
No,
yes.
20 days from now.
27th.
27th. Today is the 7th. Are you doing a joke about when this is actually going to come out?
No idea.
Okay.
Nope. Just confused. Just genuinely confused.
Okay, got
Jack,
it.
I'm there.
Thank you, Jake.
Are there other movies we want to shine a light on? Because, yes, Mark, there are. I'll take it to go first. There's Something Wrong with the Children is the other...
This one, too.
Is the other big blockbuster coming out this month. I think it looks absolutely fucking fantastic. Stars Zach Guilford, which you would know from multiple Flanagan properties, including Midnight Club and Midnight Mass. And it's basically like children, I don't know, fall down a mine shaft and then become evil. I don't know what else you really want out of this thing. It's going to be fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's right there.
It's Fastball Blumhouse horror. I think it's kind of funny how Blumhouse has evolved over time, where it was originally like, oh shit, this is Blumhouse. We got to pay attention to it. Now it's like, this is Blumhouse. It'll be good. It's competently made. Like, all right. What are they bringing? The turning point was when they pushed out The Nun.
I mean, they make movies, they make money. Like, it is what it is. It just might not be to our taste every time. Some of them are bad, is what I'm trying to say.
Sure, yeah.
But they make money.
This one looks particularly good, and Zach Guilford has built enough capital with me, like social capital, that I'm totally willing to go on that ride with him. He's a great actor. I love watching him perform. So
okay.
You got that one. The other one I was going to highlight was The Offering, which is another one that I feel like I've seen. I said this with The Price We Pay as well, but I feel like I've seen this movie. It's a possession movie, essentially. Like, I don't know, a dozen times, two dozen times at least.
So the question is, why?
Is it weird to say that it's the Jewish angle?
That's
like a fresh enough take.
What was the recent one, though, that was about, I don't know that it was necessarily possession, but do you remember what I'm talking about?
The one that I watched? It was the guy who was sitting Shiva.
Yes, this is the same movie. I just don't remember the name. That wasn't a possession movie, was it?
I'm blanking on it too. No, that was just, well, it was post-possession. So the guy had died possessed by a demon, and then the guy who was sitting Shiva was then haunted by said demon.
Regardless, the Jewish angle is underrepresented.
There's the older one a while ago with, it's not Javier Bardem, it's the guy who looks exactly like him, but, I'll find it in a little bit, but there's like a... There's a Dybbuk box in it. It might just be called The Possession, actually. When we get these glimpses into like Jewish folklore, we also have a bunch of movies about golems and stuff. They're like underrepresented and absolutely fascinating. And it's like a weird it's like a version of folklore that we haven't gotten enough of.
Yeah.
This could be a wildly generic possession.
Well,
movie.
I love seeing things about...
But...
Yeah, I love seeing things about cultures that aren't very well represented on screen. I don't want to say Jewish
folklore is super cool. I was actually just talking to my wife about this the other day, and I certainly don't want... We are in a world where some people are generalizing Jews in some very troubling ways, and it's pretty horrible. But I do think that it's just because they're very reasonable about their folklore that we don't, like, you know what I mean? It's not front and center. It's just, so we don't get a lot of cool movies about it. But, man, I'm interested in Jewish folklore. It's so interesting.
I don't want to say
they're the Old Testament, right? Like, they have enough years that they're just like, oh, yeah, golems. That is part of it. But, I mean, we haven't talked about that in, like, 4,000 years. So, like, it's fine. Cool.
Just chill.
As an update, the movie I was talking about was The Possession, and the guy who I think looks exactly like Javier Bardem is Jeffrey Dean Morgan, the bad guy from like season 6 of
it. Was called The Possession.
Yeah, that movie's pretty good.
Such a bad name.
It is.
We have like The Possession, Demon. I'm just like thinking about recent or semi-recent entries. I don't want to say that like Jewish or looks into Jewish folklore or culture is underrepresented, considering
it's a
very small population when you think of the world as a whole.
I guess it's...
But what I do want to see is more of these populations that you don't get a lot of in general, because I don't know about that shit, therefore it's interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
That's my take.
Yep.
I am totally on board with what you're saying. This seems cool.
So it's a very generic premise, but I think the manner in which it's told could end up being interesting.
I got one more I'd like to mention here. Speaking of movies with bad generic names, there's a movie called Fear coming out this month.
Great yeah. name. Love it.
Which is written and directed by Dion Taylor, and I think people would best know him from Meet the Blacks, which was like a mid-2010s. It was a parody of The Purge, but yeah. like, you know, a black comedy parody of The Purge. Yeah. Not black comedy in the, like, capital B, but, like, African-American, black people comedy
yes.
Parody of
yep.
The Purge.
We're with yep. you.
thank you.
Comes at you from Hidden Empire Entertainment.
I don't think I actually saw Meet the Blacks. I've heard it's very funny and in good ways. And this movie, the trailer was very funny. And this is like a movie of a bunch of teen friends that like each one has to individually confront their fears. And it's a horror comedy and it looks like interesting fun and stupid.
What would your fears be? Obviously you're spiders, Jake.
It's easy, yeah.
I'm heights. What would you, say giraffes around a campfire,
I mean,
Jack? There's no fucking
way. The fact
way
that
I've
been forced by my so-called friends to confront a giraffe and feed it the core of a lettuce. And it was horrifying. It wrapped its poison tongue all the way around my arm.
We're his friends.
This
friends.
Certainly was not you and
we're
I.
We're his friends' friends. We're not his so-called friends.
Okay.
Wait, it wasn't us, was
you,
it? I didn't
know. It wasn't
I was
you
not
guys.
Mentally present. I don't think I was physically present either.
It was
blasted
our friend
and fed lettuce to giraffes.
I'm just making sure we didn't break into a zoo in the past. Okay.
Our friend Janae and her old roommate used to be like one of the directors at the Boise Zoo. And so we got to talk about how I was afraid of giraffes, and then the next day I was signed up to feed the giraffe when no one else was there, and it was
that's
closed.
Fucking
it was,
funny.
That's also awesome.
I'm sorry.
I would do the and hell
I,
out of me.
Yeah,
that.
But if you're scared of giraffes, like I don't
but
know, it's not great.
I'd feed heights a lettuce.
You'd throw
that
lettuce
fear
off a cliff? That's much less scary.
To you?
You don't anyway, even have to get close to the edge to throw it.
That experience was like, they're scary, they're viscerally scary, but my fear for sure would be like Twilight Zone shit. You know, you're the same, everyone else is a little bit different, and no one will acknowledge the difference.
That lends itself
yeah,
to screen
that's,
much better.
That's the one that I attribute to Jack. If we were to list our top three fears, giraffes would be on his, I'm sure.
Probably. Yeah.
Maybe not. Maybe
fear.
I'm not sure.
It's an identifiable fear.
I don't know if I could name a third identifiable fear.
Ooh, I have a definite top three fears.
Oh, what are they?
I have to do this on air?
Spiders.
Yeah. You just announced it.
Spiders.
Yeah.
This isn't in any order. Okay. But leeches. Spiders, I do get a little bit claustrophobic, and that is increasing with age, so claustrophobia I'll put on there. And aging and mortality. It's a very general one, but it fucks with me more than the other ones do, like on a daily basis. So,
have
I'm
you seen
listening.
Old?
I don't think it's going to hit me in the way that
I
find
it will either.
Yeah, you know what? That's not going to scratch the edge.
That's not going to do it.
A girl gets pregnant in like 6 minutes, Jake,
whoa. And then she has the baby in like two.
Hmm.
It's a terrible movie that you should absolutely watch.
That movie is such a mess.
That movie is buck wild.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like it could be like a fun mess, though.
Oh, it's a fun mess. I'll tell you
I
what.
Didn't have fun. I did not enjoy it, but I was alone.
I had so much fun. That movie.
Did you watch it with your wife?
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched it alone, somebody. And I did not have fun.
I think I would have had fun with that.
I think, like, we're well past understanding that Shyamalan movies are best enjoyed in a theater audience.
Yeah,
The Village.
You got to watch that in a setting where you can throw popcorn at the television.
Like, we know The Village is like a fairly maligned film.
It's fucking bad.
I watched that
aside from Avatar, The Last Airbender.
No.
That
and
is
Lady in the Water. No, The Village
it's
is
better than Lady in the
Water.
Orders
of magnitude better than Lady in the Water.
Yes.
You're incorrect.
I watched it in a theater and it was fun to watch. It's also better than The Happening.
But The Happening's more fun.
I
but
do
the Happening's
happening.
More fun.
But
the
I didn't
happening's
see,
a lot
and that's
more fun.
Exactly what I'm fucking talking
oh, don't
about.
Go down that road. There's a bunch of hanging people down that
I
road.
I didn't watch The Happening in the theater. I watched The Village in the theater, and it was fun because, wow, that movie was bad.
The Happening has
it's
Mark
so
Wahlberg
bad.
Spanking plants. They've been a
that would have been a fucking awesome
no,
movie to see.
Plants win. Plants sort of win. But then give up?
But then, yeah, then they just sort of stop.
Plants could win.
The resolution
then
of that
up.
Movie is just like, and then they stopped.
That's so plant of them. You know what I mean?
Hey, it's 40 minutes in. Should we go to the feature
no
presentation?
No way, is it?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
You're a bad plant. Bad.
They don't beat plants in that movie.
He
they don't win.
He smacks a plant at one point, and then the lady gets mad at him for smacking her plant.
No, I think he slaps the fake tree to see if it's a real tree that's going to kill him.
Oh, it might be a fake tree. I think that's left ambiguous.
It's a rubber tree.
Yeah. Like it produces rubber
tish,
and it's
tish boom.
Tish? Yeah, exactly. That's the sound everyone associates.
See, I was waiting to see when someone would be like, that's not right.
Tish, tish, bomb.
Tish, tish, bomb.
I don't know Rubber Tree well enough to know if that's the right sound or not.
No, it wasn't. It was ba-dum-tsh, but I did tish, tish, boom.
Oh. Whoa, that's not a song from any, that's not a sound from any song on the album Rubber Tree. That's...
Jack took it way deeper than you
he
actually
did. I actually appreciate that.
I thought he was doing a...
No, I did the inverse of the ba-dum-tsh. But I didn't enunciate
tish,
it well.
Tish, tish, bomb.
Tish, tish, bomb.
Tish, yeah, that went way beyond me.
Well, it was stupid, so.
Over at DaisyHorror.com this week, we watched 2022's //Back, which was okay. Jack pick. Okay. I picked this movie. Jake, I think you'd seen this before because you got mad at me when I picked it.
No, that I got mad at
that
you.
That was Mark. You're doing
damn
that
it
again today. That's the thing.
Apparently.
Fantasy
Mark.
Point. Jack confuses Jake and Mark.
Mark had seen it. I don't know if I had already seen it or if I saw it right after that, but it was part of my list to watch before the end of 2022 because it was one of my anticipated films during the year.
Yeah. And
so it's been a while, Jack,
Mark,
since I saw this.
Okay. It's relatively recent release. It was like October, November or something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I actively got mad at you because I'd watched it the night before when you picked this.
Oh, shit. So this is like a two pretty quick watches, like within a couple months.
Yeah, exactly. So this was, I did end up watching it to get ahead of our next conversation.
He didn't watch it again, Jack.
I've now seen this twice. I watched
it again. Oh, you watched it again?
I watched it again last night while doing like chores and stuff. I just sort of had it on the background so that I could take notes because I do need like a notes document in order to go off. So I just threw it on. It's a pretty easy watch. It's like 90 minutes. It goes.
Yeah, it is 90 minutes
fast, and you get to watch the scenes where you get chased by a goofy polar bear and a weird looking cop.
Mark, I have a question for you. What I just heard you say, and what I think you said, I think I heard you correct. You need a notes document in order to go off. I think what I'm trying to parse here is, did you mean I need a notes document that I can work off of, or like for you to go off?
He
if
can't
I'm go
off.
Go
oh,
off
it's
no. I need a notes.
The answer
document.
Is an inclusive. It's an
yes.
Inclusive or Jack. It's a yes. The answer is a yes. No,
because I'm excited for you to go off.
Specifically, what
go
I
off, King.
I need to go off of a notes document when I do the podcast.
That's what I thought.
But also, I do need a document to go off on.
Yeah, I get very angry and then forget what I get angry about if I didn't take notes about it.
I'm so mad and I don't know why.
Welcome to my life.
That's why I keep a dream journal. Before we get too far into this nonsense, do we want to do a 30-second plot synopsis? We've all gone through
our viewing history. I only saw it once, so
I saw
it's got to be once, and once and a half.
I'm gonna be the distant.
Yep.
The person who watched it not recently.
I watched it yesterday, 2 days ago, something like that.
Yeah. Okay. So 30-second plot synopsis.
I'm ready.
It's gonna start when you start, Jack.
A group of Inuit teenage girls are friends on Baffin Island, but they're kind of like high school friends, and sometimes they're friends and sometimes they're not. They go out onto the land, as they say, to kind of mess around and shoot a rifle. They see what ends up being an alien possessing a polar bear. Eventually, that alien attacks the whole town while all the parents in the town are off at a dance where they all get drunk. Eventually, the girls best the alien. And then the movie ends, and the aliens leave away on their spaceship.
And they open a like KFC-style restaurant. Time.
Oh,
sorry.
Yeah. The main girl gets in touch with her native roots and decides to like the food, the country food, as she calls it, instead of disliking it. And she and her dad open a food truck.
Your time was up when I started talking, and I forgot to say time because...
Oh, yeah, no one, neither of you said time.
Obviously, it was time. You spoke out of 45 seconds.
We've done a lot of I have no idea. We've done a lot of these different things, and we have never once forgotten to say time.
Yeah, that's the first time.
Well, welcome to 2023, the year we forgot to say time.
What is time?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Something to do with gravity, I think. Anyways.
I have no idea how much of the actual plot I got into the 30 seconds or not. I assume I made it.
You made it. When you said then the movie ends, you were at 28 seconds or so.
Okay.
So, I mean, I feel like you got... The funny thing about all of the horror, all of the 30-second plot synopsises is generally we get the first 15 seconds are the first 10 minutes of the movie, and then the last 80 minutes of the movie are everything that's left.
That kind
of
makes sense.
Yeah, it's the setup, and then the punchline is usually just like,
horror
and they all get slashed.
Yeah.
Yeah. The question is whether or not there's significant plot development in the second and third periods.
Commonly, there is not.
And here there is not.
Yeah, generally there is not. And correct. Here is there.
And specifically,
here there is
not. let's talk about what in the fuck subgenres of horror this fits into, and I'll take Alien. They Come to Us.
Correct.
And foreign.
And indie.
Yep.
It's certainly that's indie.
That's about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we nailed it, guys. We fucking did
it. This is a fastball of a movie.
sort of.
It's a fastball of an indie horror movie.
Oh, God. Hey, guys, what does this movie do right?
It's a fastball of an indie movie.
The fact that this movie exists, I am so happy that this exists.
Yeah. Love that.
Let's talk a little bit more, and Jack, as the picker, I want you to do this, but let's talk a little bit more about kind of what this is and what this movie means.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is a deeply native person movie, which is really cool. This is specifically Inuit or Inuk. I don't know. Hey, here's a notice to all the listeners. We are not scholars of this, nor versed on it, nor smart. So we are not the right people to be talking about native persons issues. We think it's cool. We're interested in it, and we will do our best to talk about it. I don't know. I don't even know if there's a difference between Inuit people and Inuk people. I don't really think there is. I think it's two interchangeable words, but I don't know.
It is labeled as an Inuit science fiction film.
And they refer to the art as Inuit in the movie, but
yeah.
I think the way it's the same conversation we had when we were talking about Cargo, where I think like you can refer to the Aboriginal people of Australia as Aborigines, but there are many, many, many tribes of the Aboriginal people. So I think that's essentially what is the same thing that is true within North America for the Inuit folk. It's there's a bunch of different nations.
So as I understood, the Inuk or Inuit, from my understanding, is all native persons who descended from the region they call the Thule, Thule, which is like the kind of Arctic region up there. So I think that it's kind of like we would say, like, you know, Native American.
Look, we don't know what the Venn diagram looks like. That's what we're saying.
Yeah. Anyway, this is a very native movie. The director and writer is a woman named Nyla Inuksuk, who is a native woman, and they went so far as like it's I think filmed on Baffin Island where
Correct.
It's set.
Yep.
It's filmed near the town of Pang, but the town actually has a longer name, but they call it Pang. Thank you.
Pangartuk,
maybe?
And I don't know, I didn't write it down.
When they came there, they like went to the whole town and had scouting directors out just like talking to kids, and everyone in this is like a local from that region, not an actor, just a kid who they found to be good at acting for this. That's all super fucking rad and super cool. And it gives this movie a very authentic sense of place. Like, this movie knows where it's about and knows how to depict where it's about.
Totally. I mean, that's, yes, rooting it in that level of authenticity and having someone who's creating something that is very much her world is important. And you can tell that, like, this is a labor of love and it comes across the whole time you're watching it.
And it totally, yeah, it especially comes through in, like, the interactions between these girls who are, like, you know, teenage girls having that the kind of friendship that they have, but where they're oftentimes angry at each other. They make fun of the one girl for being, like, too Inuk and believing all the legends and all that stuff.
Right.
Like, that all, but then, it's
and
all,
there's,
it's
and
very...
And there's conflict within them of whether or not they want to, like, stay in the town when they grow up or move to the big city, Winnipeg.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, and even within that, there's, like, strata of... It's just interesting to, like, look at how their existence within their own kind of society and culture works, right? Like, the main character, she's somewhat embarrassed by her father because he is a hunter.
Did you get that she was embarrassed?
Hunt,
I think she's
very
fucking
much
pro.
Yes.
I mean, so I think it's a bit double-sided because she's embarrassed of the fact that they're from such a small, like, podunk town.
Mm-hmm.
But repeatedly within the movie, she brags about how her father is the best hunter and she taught her to
that
shoot.
That is not what I took from her conversations about her dad at all.
Okay. Well,
I got that she's super embarrassed
a couple times
by him.
I got that she didn't really want to talk about her dad. She didn't appreciate what he did. It wasn't modern enough.
Well,
she appreciated, like, the badassery of it a little bit, but I didn't
also
get
is tired of the town talking about how her dad's the best hunter and is tired of being like tired of everything being, you know, when she talks about the art specifically, that's such
well, right.
an that's emotionally intense
scene. Which is not a
thing
that her dad
does, so,
but yes.
No, but like, but with the weaponry too, you know, like well, she's.
It, well, exactly right. But I think it's an interesting dichotomy because I think that's a real one that happens in this community as well as around the world of just like, I can hate that I'm from a small town and there's like a whole world out there that I need to see, but also I can appreciate that like my dad's the coolest dad in this town. You guys can suck it.
I don't think there was nothing I got from this that she was like, I think that my dad's the coolest dad.
There's a lot. I mean, it's not like explicitly stated like that, but she's like, hey, my dad taught me to shoot and he's the best fucking hunter that we have.
I didn't get a pride from it until the end, until the turnaround.
Well, and then, yeah, and then they do the turnaround. I don't know. So I would say it's not entirely negative, but I do like that there is that dichotomy there. And I mean, honestly, like Boise is not a small town, but like,
it is because the drunk guy that hit my family on Christmas morning was a DUI defense lawyer who I used to prosecute cases against. That's a small town, Jake. I know it's not a small town, but that is
again,
a weird
with the
coincidence.
Mark thing. Well, I didn't say that.
You said bro.
Okay.
You did.
Good save.
I didn't say his name yet. I bet for sure.
I'm not your bro, pal.
But I haven't said his name yet.
It's like Uki being like, she did just say that.
That's true, yeah.
No, like Boise's not a small town. We're a large city, but I mean, like, I still get that vibe of like, you got to grow up and like leave and see the world, but it's also like you can be proud of your hometown. It's an interesting dichotomy, is all I'm saying.
Yes,
I appreciate what you're saying though. This movie is like exceptionally authentic, and I don't just mean in the representational casting, which obviously was the correct choice here, but there's like so many other super endearing elements of this movie. I really like the Inuit cop who clearly is the I don't know if she's directly like the boss of the
she
other
she seems
like,
to be the other guy
dude,
who basically she says that's
commands.
An order
yeah exactly yeah. She gives him
no, she's def- yeah
orders.
She's like the
that power dichotomy
order.
Is
yeah.
is pretty funny honestly. I like it
yeah.
a lot
yeah.
Well, I like when they walk into the party, and this has happened to all of us, I think. You walk into the party, there's like a shitty Spencer's disco ball going, and like a bunch of the boys are playing Call of Duty or something on the TV screen, and there's a bowl of chips, and they walk around, and like as a viewer, you're like, this is a fucking lame party, and then they like look at each other and like, this is so cool.
Yeah.
This is the coolest party we've been to.
No, it's really authentic.
So,
yeah.
It's so... true. I love how good it represents the experience of being in like junior high.
It doesn't shy away from the complexities of it too. Like the conversation we were having about, even if we none of us experienced the like native person's aspect of it, but the complexity of wanting to leave your hometown but also wanting to be proud of it but being embarrassed by it is like, it doesn't shy away from that complexity at all. It's all just right there.
Yeah.
And they trust you, the viewer, to go along with it.
Well, and I think to a certain degree.
It's like, I don't even know if they wrote it with that in mind. That's just like sort of part of what they bring to the table, right? Like, That's it. You write what you know. If you're from a town like this, then it's not even something you think about when you're telling a story. Sorry, Jake, you go.
I mean, I agree with you. And what I was going to say is that there, interestingly, here isn't really another input. You don't have like that outside influence. Everyone in this film is from this town. And so you do get a lot of like what you were talking about, where it's like very relatable. We all went to that party. And we all had that same experience, and we can all from the outside say that's lame, but we were there. We were like, it's cool.
I went to
like,
Ben's house. Everyone has experienced that. Natural light.
And I think that authenticity we're talking about is because you have a cast that is exclusively the people who would actually be in this situation when you think about where this is set. And that's super important to what the movie is.
Yeah, but I don't want to discount the writing there too, right? Like when I say like trusting the viewer, it's been done a ton where it doesn't work, right? Where it's either the complexity is focused on too much and that doesn't play right, or it's not focused on enough and they're trying to drag you along with exposition. And this movie, I think, strikes a really interesting balance based in part on what you're talking about, the actual authenticity of the people involved, but I don't think you can discount the writing there either.
While we're on this subject, I don't know where else to put it, but the slow-mo walkout of the girls after they put on the face paint because they're becoming warriors, and the fucking no justice on stolen ground jacket is such an awesome shot.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's incredible.
Fucking sick.
And with the music, we should talk about the music too. Hallucination did the music for this.
Oh, yeah.
Formerly
the music
A Tribe Called
rules.
Red.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if a listener, if you have not listened to Hallucination, go listen to their entire catalog. They fucking don't miss. They're so good and so cool.
It is. So the way they use the music in this is also super interesting because like the action sequences are all underscored by this sort of like, I don't know what to call it. I guess techno, electrical, whatever. A pseudo-industrial soundtrack, and then there's randomly like traditional Inuit singing also in certain scenes. It's like a modern recording of Inuit lyrical stuff that like underplays when they're doing everything related to the town. And I think it's a really great mixing of traditional and modern that basically underpins what I think the overall feel of this movie is, of a traditional town set against a, you know, fucking alien invasion. It's awesome.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and so I was reading an interview with the Hallucination talking about this movie, and I can't call it up right now. I can't find it, but they were talking about how they worked with a traditional Inuit throat singer to make these songs and like sampled her to make this music. And okay. They've called themselves like industrial native chanting before. Like a lot of their stuff is
that. But so I guess what I'm saying is I like mixing that specific sound, the new wave industrial, like electrical recording stuff. Electrical. They used electricity when they recorded it. But, you know, more techno themed stuff with the, because they definitely have at least one track that they play twice. It might be two different tracks.
Yeah, it's like near the start and near the end.
It's much more of a traditional, like Inuit singing.
Yeah.
Soundtrack too, so like the disparity between those two is a very good representation of what this movie is writ large.
Yeah. Hallucinate, they call their music powwow step is what
I,
the
fuck, that's
calls
the fuck,
their
that's the best sub genre I've ever heard in my life, I think.
Hold on, let me add it to our categories list.
So let's see. I just because I did find the article here. There's an artist named Tanya Tagaq, Tagaq, who is the like Inuit throat singer that they worked with to make a lot of these tracks, and cool. Who did the vocal sampling for a lot of them.
That, there's some I mean, credit there's where some it's due. Sick throat singing out there.
Well, it's what the movie does, right?
If you ever go in that rabbit hole, just Google it. Go to Tuva. Tuvan throat singing does a lot of stuff. There's a lot of cool Mongolian shit. You got this stuff to look into. The last one that this movie does right is, well, I don't know.
Definitively the last one.
My last one the movie does right is the monsters are fucking good looking.
Yep.
So there's two scenes in particular that I would like to highlight. There's a lot of shit in this movie that it does really, really well from a monster design standpoint. But the polar bear approaching them at the very start of the movie.
Yep. You have to because it's your introduction to the particular brand of weirdness.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah. It's the first time you
but
see the alien, it's technically
so
is the
weird.
Guy like being bit in the face. But aside from that,
no, it's
the polar
the
bear.
It's all about
and
the
then the cop at the party.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, who is fully
other, like,
channeling.
Ooh,
like,
I love the first time that like the doc
the fisherman
guy shows
the
up.
Fisherman guy yeah. walking around is good too, but like you've already seen a human. The first time you see a human that is just like in rubber skin.
So the first time you see an animal and the first time you see a human.
Yeah, exactly.
They're fully channeling Vincent D'Onofrio from Men in Black, right? Like they're fully doing
it's,
that.
It's very reminiscent of that.
Yeah. It's great.
Well, on the surface, it's very reminiscent of that. In execution, it's very different.
Agreed. Yeah.
Yeah, they're much more like just to get into like a weird analysis of the different postures. Vincent D'Onofrio in Men in Black is way more like leaned back and stiff. These guys are way more
they're
like
flowy,
leaned
man.
Forward.
Oh,
and
then
like
part of their part of their movement is like the extreme like they. I mean, they go into basically like
I don't
the
know what
Exorcist level of like spider walk.
Yeah, exactly.
I just had a stroke, listener. I'm sorry. My God.
I agree. But, and Mark, to your point on the polar bear, when I saw that, I thought the first time when they're looking at the polar bear through the scope, I was like, this shitty CG, why does that polar bear look so weird? Like, it's so bad. But then you're like, no, wait, that doesn't, it doesn't look
it gets,
bad.
And
it
keeps
funny,
running,
weird,
and it's like,
because
it's like
it
running
gets,
on its wrists and knees.
Yeah.
And you're like, the fuck
as
is
it gets closer, it gets better.
I
love
it's
that
incredible.
Whole scene, actually, too, because,
so
like, the subtle storytelling of, like, you can see it in every actress, pretty much, their eyes, like, this is not normal. Yeah. Well, mostly.
But
the
also,
main character.
If it's even, regardless of whether or not it's normal, there's a fucking polar bear charging you.
Yeah, yeah.
You should be afraid.
Yeah. Well, there's a level of like, I mean, you should be afraid for sure. There's also probably a level of like, I've seen this before to it, right? Like, the
I don't know if you get that close to polar bears in general. Like, the fucking.
And live.
And,
no, you do not.
The cop's reaction, the white guy cop, when he sees the polar bear, is like, oh, fuck, and he raises his arms up and then, like, immediately gets pounced on by the...
That seems like what would happen.
That seems about right.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, shit, a polar bear! Ah! Oh, I'm dead.
That kind of is what happens. It's crazy. Have you guys seen... I can't remember the video now. I didn't really, like, see the video, and you don't see much in the video, but there is recording of... workers in Alaska that have like those huge rigs that are like lifted up, you know, like multiple feet and whatever. And someone got mauled.
When you say rig, are you talking about a drilling rig or are you talking
like
about
a car
a
to get between from place to place? Got it. They got mauled and basically eaten by a polar bear. This is years ago. And it was because they had seen one that was tracking them, thought they lost it. And what had happened is it was hiding underneath the car the whole time.
Jesus, I have not seen this.
And they stopped it, thought they were good, got out, bam, polar bear'd. Like, real shit that happens. So, like, the video itself, like, you don't see anything but gnarly shit.
So hard to follow that up with. But if I take one thing away from this movie that sticks with my brain, it's how fucking cool the, like, lumbering gooberiness of, like,
yeah.
They look so, it looks, like, so not
gelatinous.
Coordinated.
Yeah. It's threatening in how non-threatening it is.
It's like it's like if you wanted a villain to just do the Dougie the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also still be super fucking threatening.
And they're very threatening, yeah. It's
like,
wild.
It's sort of comedic in a way. I think it might be one of the best representations of like a shapeshifter that
it's
we've
fantastic.
Seen.
It's fantastic. It's fantastic.
While doing this,
I mean, it's great. There's no bones. It's all skin.
It's all skin and gelatin.
Baby. Yeah.
That would be the most recommendable part of this. Is it's an exceptionally fun monster movie.
Yeah,
we said Alien at the start and not monster, but I think this also qualifies as a monster movie.
Sure. Fine.
All right.
You're trying to get your...
I mean, it follows the exact same projection like as The Thing, pretty much.
Well, and they call that out, too. I think that might be... This is probably more of a neat pick type level of thing, but I do like that they're sort of checking their sources on stuff of, like, literally just playing The Thing on a television screen and then talking about it.
Yeah.
They talk a lot about The Thing, yeah.
And then talking about that one scene away from the Inuk, whatever, boogeyman thing. I didn't write down what it was actually called, but, like, the shapeshifter, these children... Those two things combined is, like, that's such a fucking awesome synergistic, like, villain to make a movie out of.
Yeah. It's awesome. It's great. I love it.
Yeah. Anything else this movie does right before we move to the middle?
Don't think so.
So, I had one thing written down in what the movie does middle, and I kind of want to elevate it to right, does right, because of how ballsy it is, but I think it's funny that, so there's four girls that are the main characters here.
Okay.
And one of the girls is just like, nah, this shit's too scary. I'm out. like 40 minutes into the movie. And leaves. And they like find her in the storage container at the very end of the movie.
Well, they left her there.
But I fucking love
her. She was grounded, Mark. She was grounded.
I love that that's an option. Where it's just like, guys, this is too scary.
I'm not
going to participate in the rest of this movie.
Well, Mark,
that is so fucking funny.
I think that there could be something that we're missing, though, about the importance of, like, being the caregiver in that situation. Because they were specifically it's on you to protect the youth.
Sure. But also, when she bows out, she's like, nah, this is too scary.
Yeah.
Mark, that's very related to something I had in What the Movie Does Middle, which is the elimination of the parents of just this vague hand-wavy, there's a dance.
They're all the dance.
They're at a mixer.
All the parents are dancing, and they're going to get pissy drunk.
I love how it's like a lights on, 10 people, one dude sitting there with an accordion. Banger.
4 p.m. dance.
Well, hey, dude, it's the longest day of the year. It's like midnight.
It's the longest day of the year. It's like 3 a.m.
It's light all the way through.
The sun
does not go down.
That's fair. But I do like that there's like... I like that the movie. I like the simplicity of all the parents are gone, all the adults are gone because they're all here. Don't worry about it. But then also it's just like, wait, they're all at this thing and they're all going to get blackout drunk apparently?
Yes. Jack is going to come back up and nitpicks.
Okay.
What are you talking about?
But I also do like how her dad, like, who has been held up as like the best hunter in town, is supposed to be this incredible badass, is too drunk to like really do much of fucking anything to help.
Well, and also by the time he shows up, they're like, oh, that was the last one? You just killed the last one? Okay, cool. We're good. Yeah. Hey, look at that light. Look at
but
that
it's
light.
Like,
going
it's not
up
how
space.
A usual movie would go, where like her badass hunter dad gets pinned by this thing.
Yeah,
and
it
is
really
too drunk
paints
to really fight it off effectively.
That's kind of a middling. Hey, that's something the movie does middle. It paints the aliens in a fairly poor light. They aren't that competent.
I would put that in right well before I put
yeah?
it in middle.
Well, we already missed it, and I'm not going back.
Damn. Okay.
So all it's going forward because we can't find reverse.
They weren't
you know
quite
I mean?
Enough of a threat.
I think that counts as a removal of resource. It is a very funny like way to just write out every other character in this movie. It's just like suddenly all these four
and
girls,
they're gone.
These four girls, these like random kids, and that one boy are the only people alive in this town. And it's yeah. not like it's a huge town, but it has a population of like probably 1,000 or so.
Yeah,
like so.
And they can take this.
I guess everybody else is at this party.
Yeah,
I like it. It works.
What this movie does right is it's set during the summer solstice, so you can like the time frame of this is very confusing.
Yeah,
but it could be 4 a.m. and the sun's still up. Like,
yeah, it doesn't
matter. The way this like evening progresses is kind of cool.
Yeah,
yeah. So anyway, it does middle because it's like it's kind of lazy and kind of just hand wavy, but it also kind of works for the movie. So middle.
Okay, that's fair.
Perfect. We did it.
So now we got to what the movie does wrong.
I have one more middle.
Oh,
one more middle.
Oh,
one more middle.
I apologize. I didn't mean to step on that.
We talked about it's also bridging the gap to wrong.
Perfect.
It's really cool that they picked local people from the local.
Oh yeah, this
is
what the
best.
This is what the movie does wrong. Yeah. So now we're in the movie does wrong. Got it. Do your thing.
But it's cool that they picked that, but also they're not good actors. It's a poorly acted movie.
Yeah, a lot of the acting
first,
is very, very
yeah,
stilted.
First and yeah. foremost, what this movie does wrong, what makes it hard to recommend is the performances are exceptionally wooden.
Yeah.
I think, look, representation matters, and they chose the correct way to execute this movie, and it makes it authentic, and overall the movie is better for it, but boy, oh boy.
Yeah, this
it's
is there.
It's,
there are some scenes in this that are yeah. nigh on unwatchable because of the line delivery.
We're getting into like the who the hell do you recommend this to, and it we'll get there.
Not a lot of people.
It's. I mean, this is a movie for people who watch horror movies and care what this is bringing to the table.
I think there's a flip side of that coin too, though.
Okay, let's talk about that.
I don't know how much, like, as an example, I don't know how much my mom cares about acting.
Okay.
She might care about it more than she knows because she doesn't watch that many movies that are like poorly acted, but I think she would watch this and be like, I don't think she would have a nitpick with the line delivery.
Really?
Really?
If she doesn't watch a lot of movies with poor acting, you think that this might still glance off of her?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I think she would just take it at face value and be like, yeah, those are the lines that they said.
Well, they are the lines that they said.
Because like
so I think if you're deep enough into movies that you're watching for a performance, this is bad. But if you're shallow enough into movies that you're just watching for like the spectacle of it, I don't think it's gonna factor that much in.
This goes two ways though.
Exactly.
You
can be deep enough into movies. Both sides of the spectrum think this is okay, and the middle part of the spectrum thinks that's not okay.
Because you can be deep enough into movies to be like, I don't give a fuck, because like everything that this is doing is sick.
Yes.
And I'm going to forgive the fact that deliveries wouldn't.
Yes.
And also, I think you can be so shallow into movies and have a bad performance ripped. Like, you don't give a shit about what's going on, but it's such a wooden performance that you don't like watching it. Even if you don't give a shit about.
This wasn't there to me.
I agree. It's not that bad. But I don't understand the, like, person who is uninterested in the acting performance to the degree of all I want to do is see the lines they say. I don't understand that, I suppose.
I think that exists more in the world than you're willing to give it credit for, Jack.
I also think, like, how much attention
much
are you paying to the film? Like, if you're not going to pay full attention to it, not going to be as impacted by it.
Fair, but I feel like, in general, as a conversation, we should get rid of our recommendation to put this on in the background, because that's a weird thing unless you have like a specific take on why.
What
I'm saying is, for people who are when we're recommending this, if you're paying attention to it, you either need to not care at all about the acting performances and just want them to be a vehicle for which the rest of the movie is delivered.
Correct.
Or care so much about film as a whole that you're willing to look past relatively wooden performances.
Yes. 100% agree.
And yeah, I think that there's a surprising amount of people on both sides of that, but also a lot of people are in the middle.
Like, most people are in the middle.
Yeah.
I just don't... I'm unaware of the person who, like, doesn't see good performances, right? Like, I don't know. I think there's a lot of... Like, it seems to me that most...
You need to talk to more people, Jack.
What? To me, it seems like very bad movies are saved in the public eyes by very charming, good performers who do a good job in the movie, or a James Cameron action spectacle that it doesn't really matter how the acting was. But I mean, Dustin Hoffman wouldn't have a career. Like, so many Dustin Hoffman movies are written poorly, have a bad plot, and would be boring if it wasn't Dustin Hoffman in it.
But also, I feel like a lot of Dustin Hoffman movies are... A critic said that Dustin Hoffman had a good performance and everyone really fucking liked it as a result. I honestly, at a basal level, I don't think that the... I'm using average in a literal sense here. I don't think the average person has a big take on what makes a good performance versus a bad performance.
But I think wooden performances take... I guess I'm thinking of the movie Kramer versus Kramer, which is a bad movie with bad writing.
And in that take, Jack, you have exposed exactly your sphere of influence.
That was the biggest movie of 77 or whatever came out. That was like the most...
Oh, you mean the movie that came out 12 years before we were born?
Yeah. But I'm...
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
We exist in a sphere of film nerds. And there are a lot of... Most people on this planet are outside of that sphere. And honestly, the only reason I'm cognizant of this is because this has been a journey for me as well, is to see... When we started this, I don't know if I could provide you with a good example of, like, acting versus acting type of thing, you know? It's a joke. But, like, I always was really intrigued by, when the Oscars came around, what made best performance. Because there were a lot of, like... performances that obviously they highlighted as far as best, but like, why was Shia LaBeouf in the Transformers not best performer type of thing? That's a weird. I don't know why my brain.
Shut up. I applaud it.
Well, that movie's a perfect example of the acting doesn't matter because you want to see the spectacle. You want to see the CG Transformers.
Honestly, this has been an internal journey for me over the last couple of years when we've been doing this, is like, what specifically makes good acting and watching actors do their craft. Prior to this, as a high schooler and early college and stuff, like, you could certainly tell when a line was delivered wrong. When I saw The Happening in high school and I didn't really give a shit, and he looks...
That's the perfect example because everyone saw that.
And he... Exactly. Yeah. And he looks at the old lady, says...
What?
Like, you're a liar.
No!
Yeah, exactly. What? Like, everyone latches onto that line and says, like, okay, so he performed that poorly.
Yeah.
But, like, if I saw this in 2007, I'd be like, yeah, that's not the best, but I don't think I would, like, really underline this as, like, oh my god, they're fucking, this is terrible line delivery type of thing, right? I think that watching film is a talent that you acquire over time, and you get a taste for it, which is why that, like, the big acting performances that get highlighted at the Oscars are in such, like, weird, obscure, small movies, generally speaking. Because those are the ones that are the most meaningful and nuanced. But in general, I think the ability to evaluate acting as a talent is not something that, like, the general person watching horror specifically can provide an opinion on, or, like, would really be able to voice what exactly is wrong with this movie. I think a lot of people would watch this and be like, I don't know. It seemed a little weird.
Well,
I don't know if they'd get to the point where it was like
it seems
specifically,
like,
because of this reason.
The layperson will watch a movie that is acted poorly and not come away knowing why they didn't like it necessarily, but
yeah,
acted poorly.
Yeah, I agree with you on this. I think that, like, in general, you can show this to someone and they'll generally say that they might not like it, but they might not be able to voice why. And it probably comes back to the lack of immersion from the fact that the lines are delivered.
Yeah, I mean, it's... Someone might be able to tell. It was, but it's the most important and, in my opinion, like one of the only things that I put in what the movie does wrong hard. Like, it's raw. It's super fun. This is a raw movie, and that's fine, but it's exactly like what we've been talking about. I don't want to belabor it too much more. Like, not going to be for everyone because there is wooden delivery. It's because it is featuring people who are not trained actors.
We could also note that this is Nyla Inuksuk's first movie. Like, this is her first feature movie ever.
It's everybody's first movie.
It is a raw film. And to a lot of people,
which is
why
it's so fucking awesome
us
how
included,
authentic it is.
Yes.
See a lot of movies that are the first film that X person
and they aren't that authentic.
And they're not that this is like so representational.
It's incredible.
I
want to step that back. I don't know if this is representational or not, because this is not our world view at all. But like, it feels authentic. That's what I wanted to say. Sorry. Go ahead.
I appreciate what you're saying. I would assume that that's correct, considering the people who made this. This is a movie that you watch it, you're like, okay, this is super raw. I think regardless of what your movie viewing experience to date has been, what your level of acumen is, whatever. Like, you watch this and you're like, it's raw. That is just reality. And I think that that's okay, but from a holistic film perspective, if you're analyzing it, there are shortcomings. That's overall like what we've been saying, and I don't want to belabor it.
Fair. I'm just looking here. Nyla Inuksuk. I was on her Wikipedia page. She was born and raised in Igloolik, which is a small island with a population of about 1,000 until the mid-2000s when it got up to 1,500, and now is a population of 1900.
Okay.
In the very north of Canada,
booming.
I mean, interesting. I'd be interested to see like what's increasing that population. Also, apologies for literally every pronunciation we made on this podcast.
Oh, for sure.
But yeah, that's a
also just
comment.
For the Wikipedia page has a pronunciation and then an Inuit pronunciation.
Good.
And so
we probably aren't even getting the pronunciation.
They have a word for white people in this movie. Kalnat.
That's us.
Q-U-A-L-L-U-N-A-A-T.
You're not pronouncing it right.
I'm for sure not.
I think it's part of the charm
in the Hawaii's here.
It's like Guaylo, right? I mean,
whatever.
What
else did you do wrong?
The only other thing I had.
I agree. Mark has something.
I have one other thing the movie is wrong. It's a fucking bad name. It's a bad name.
You did say we were going to revisit this. And I'm
there's
happy
a lot
we
of
are.
Things we're going to revisit. I still have more things that I'm going to drudge up and nitpicks here, but this is a bad name.
It
for
has
the movie.
Nothing
it has
to do with the movie.
Absolutely nothing to do with it.
But it has a sick graphic, and when it goes, psh, it's
stylish. And the only thing I can possibly tie to the actual slash is when she drops the fishing hook thing on the to behead the second alien.
Well, she also, I mean, she's,
she slashes
she
the
slashes
final
the
dude
mink.
In the back.
She slashes.
Oh, she slashes his back.
I mean,
yeah,
with
her grandfather's great grandfather's ceremonial like ancient blade.
Oh my! Okay, so to get ahead of ourselves with the nitpicks, the neat pick stuff. There's so many neat picks with this movie. The use of the traditional hunting equipment in this movie is fucking awesome.
Awesome,
but yeah,
that's cool. But I had a problem with that ceremonial. That come back up in nitpicks.
Yeah, Slash pick is a bad name, and the fact that they insist on stylizing it as slash backslash back.
I like
so
the style to it though.
Look,
it
if you're gonna go for it, go you, for it. If, like, what the fuck is
I
the name
I would almost
of this
put
movie?
This. I would almost so. I agree with you to an extent, but I'd also almost just put this in nitpick because, like, it's a unique... I'm not finding this on Google, and that can be a problem.
Yeah, if you Google slash back and Google
even
assumes
without,
you don't mean backslash.
Even without the backslash, I'm finding it, but with the backslash, I'm 100p.
So 100%
Mark,
true.
let me.
You can't just make you if you need to be able to like when you're making a movie and you think you've landed on a name, Google it and see how prevalent all of your competitors
for sure.
are going to be. In that way, this movie succeeds. But this has nothing to do with.
I think
the
that's
whole
important.
Let me float
this movie,
past
though.
You, Mark.
Okay.
Our protagonist,
Micah.
Initially,
we haven't talked about any of their names.
It's hard.
I don't know any of their names.
Yeah. Okay. Micah is the main girl.
We don't need to do this now.
Okay.
Micah, though, as needed basis. Okay.
Okay.
Micah. Great. Wants, does not like her culture in the beginning. She wants to slash it, but then she comes back to it and embraces it.
Jack,
she wants to slash it, you guys.
Out of
She's
her life.
I'm doing a lot of work
out of her life. That's a surprisingly
bad
decent take.
It's a bad take.
I'm okay with it. I liked it, buddy.
Christ.
Thank what you.
Yeah. Fucking take.
I liked it. It was a good take.
They should have come up with a more
Should we blow the whistle?
Relevant.
We should probably blow the whistle. This one's teetering.
Here
we go.
What? Okay. Hey, we're at the very fucking start of the movie. She's learning to hunt with her dad. She has aggressively thick mittens on that won't work to pull the trigger. And then here showing her dad with gloves on, showing her how to pull the trigger. And then they don't cut away to like her removing her mitten. She can't pull the trigger with the mittens on.
Yeah, so this is a large nitpick just with life in general for me. Mittens for kids. There are good options.
I mean, mittens.
Yeah, mittens also suck.
Like,
don't do mittens.
I get
the whole point.
The
whole reason the guy dies at the beginning of the movie is because his mittens fall off because he can't do his
Those were gloves.
Those were gloves.
I can't tell the difference.
Well, I mean, they had
well,
fingers.
Well, that's a different problem.
That's a mark problem, I understand, but I don't know what the difference
we'll
is.
We'll talk about
I don't know the difference between mittens and gloves.
I'll explain
what
it
are
later.
What is the, I don't, but truly, though, I don't.
Wait, do, are
Mark,
you being
wait,
serious?
Hold on, is this real?
Yeah, this is not a bit. This is, I don't understand.
Mittens don't have these fingers.
Fingers.
Gloves do.
Gloves have a thing around each
mittens,
finger.
So
mittens
wait, gloves, I understand that there is, I understand the difference, but I can never remember which one's which.
Mittens are one thing. Mittens are this.
Mittens
gloves
are
this.
Are one and a thumb.
Yes.
So and you as the American
this is
just think
Buck
of Michigan.
Wild.
Michigan has one thing and then the thumb.
And that's a Michigan.
That's
mitten.
A yeah.
Okay, that's gonna help me actually.
Yeah,
I
figured
that.
It might.
Okay, got it.
There's your not mnemonic device, but okay. Close to.
Yeah, I got it.
That's demonic. Of. That's still
yeah,
demonic.
It's demonic. It's a demonic.
Demonic
device.
Yeah.
That was a wow. Well, Mark, you learned something. You learned what a mitten is.
Mittens are really good for heat, but they're
yes.
really bad for literally anything.
For doing
you
for
very much
things.
Need
yeah.
mittens. Probably on Baffin Island, you need mittens a lot.
100%. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. But not when you're hunting. You yeah. need a glove.
Yep. I'm a glove guy.
I don't wear mittens.
Well, you live in Boise, Idaho.
I don't need
no
them.
Reason
yeah.
to get mittens.
Yeah,
you need mittens when it's like 40 below.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, if you're a mountaineer or living there, you need mittens.
But that's sort of funny, too, because like if you're a mountaineer, you need to have some level of...
Sort of.
You have
you
gloves
have to
be able to, below your mittens.
You should be
that
able to,
doesn't help.
Okay, so you're...
The outer layer is the thing that matters.
You're already roped in, and you should be able to hold an ice axe. I don't think you should need your fingers.
Oh, that's true. I guess, you're just gripping an ice
yeah.
an axe.
So you have big, heavy mittens, and then below that, if you need to pull a trigger, you can pull them off, and you still have something,
yeah.
so it's not your tender flesh exposed to the cold.
Tender flesh.
The tender flesh. Not your regular tender.
What else, guys? I had a bit of a nitpick with the action sequence that was people riding bikes 4 miles an hour. That was a bit aggressive. I get that it's
at
part of a device.
At the very beginning of the movie
where
they're chasing her down.
It's a bit of a
stole.
Well, and also like a little bit of a like, are these people friends? Do they know each other? Like the way in which that was written was
I do
slightly
like,
awkward.
I do like the general like frenemies whole. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's still that complexity of actual
there
relationships.
There are
like
yeah.
everybody hates each other, but they're the best friends.
Yeah, because there are like 13 kids in this town, so
yeah,
it's like
exactly.
duh. Doi.
No
but
doi.
The way that it's like.
It's not a good
whole
action sequence
where they're literally riding like very slowly on
and
bikes.
There's like full on industrial techno happening in the background.
Yeah, it was a lot. I was taken aback in
a
poor
way. I kind of love it. I think it's great. The whole introduction to this movie is amazing where it's like the guy who's doing his like ice cores.
Yeah.
And he's just like, oh, you have to submit to my hand.
I got to get the hell out of here.
Here's a nitpick with that. They do not show you how long it takes to get an ice core from a
they
hand
make it
drill
seem like it's
like
1 minute.
No, it's a hard cut.
Hours.
It's like 35 minutes of yeah. twisting that motherfucker once you've already cut a big enough hole for it to get in.
Also, I don't think you would be by yourself.
Right? I've been by myself taking never on Baffin Island, never that north.
I don't know that you'd be by yourself in that situation.
In North Washington in the winter, I've been by myself.
That's a little different. It's a little
yeah.
different.
Yeah. Hell, yeah. Yeah.
Hell.
He's been in hell by himself.
I took an ice
core. I was
going to
talk about some instances in Hell Roaring Canyon and then that I've been by myself that I definitely shouldn't have been by myself, but then I thought better of it.
That's fine. No one would get
that. That is a good point. This does seem like a two-man crew.
Yeah.
Like whatever.
Should be. Yeah. For sure.
So neat pick overall. The written language in this movie and using it as the subtitles for the like the the place and like
the fake
place
alien language, you mean?
I think that's their actual written language.
I don't know. I don't know if that's Inuit written language or fake alien language.
This is
they show it multiple times.
Can I say something that's really terrible?
Hold on.
Okay.
Yes.
You're gonna do something better.
Yes, but pause.
And I might ignore it.
So they use the written language in this as a way of transcribing from the written language to like, you know, 3 a.m. or 12 p.m.
Yeah.
or whatever, on this specific longitude and latitude. But it shows up as the cop on the cop car's door, and it shows up on the at the mixer on like the sandwich board that they have to welcome people. I think that's just their written language.
That's cool.
And
I have no concept.
It's bonkers how close that is to looking like alien hieroglyphs.
I thought it was a fake alien language. Yeah.
And I mean, I love that, and that's exactly like why we like this type of movie, is it exposes us to this like other side that we've never seen before. But damn, what a cool looking written language that is.
Definitely.
That also strikes me as something that probably isn't traditionally a written language, and like that part has evolved recently. But I like you said at the beginning, I don't know. We don't know.
We don't know, and we're dumb.
The closest, here's my terrible comment, but
do it.
Actual application that I know of in terms of just like how cool these written languages look. Current NHL player Ethan Bear, very interestingly, has his native. He's native. He's First Nations, and he has NHL teams have allowed him to have like his original written language as his name on the back
of
his jersey.
That's sick. That's
awesome.
We need more of that.
It looks very similar.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
The written language. I mean, his nation, which I didn't have the chance to look up. It is from, I believe, Saskatchewan. But
who does he play for?
Right now, I think he plays for the Canes.
Okay.
He played for the Oilers.
He plays for Carolina.
He played for the Oilers when this
the Nashville Predators.
Yeah, it's better than being like.
I mean, he's a professional hockey player. This shit happens. He plays for the Canucks right now, actually, so that's better.
Okay.
It's been allowed to happen. I think there should be more of that. There are not that many players that are from this area in general right now. I think that additional like support for the ability to develop players would be good. This is a whole different conversation. That said, the written language that I saw with his name as an example looks similar to this. I could see that being connective tissue. I'm going to assume it's real. It looks fucking amazing.
Okay, so hold on. Back up. In what world was that awful? You all prefaced all of this with, I'm going to say something awful or regrettable or whatever. I can't remember what
it was. I just figured that it might be like a little bit too much of like this dude's thing, which is a totally different people's, like looks like this. So therefore this must be real. I don't know.
I mean, fair. There are a lot of nations within the Inuit people that we're talking about.
Also,
I understand that.
Ethan Bear appears to be from the Ocha Powassi, again, pronunciation nation, which is a Cree nation in Canada.
Aside from all of that, I can so hard sign off on this. We need more like Eastern European languages on the back of hockey jerseys, Northern European. Like, there's so many, like, Swedish and Finnish and Norwegian.
Just more umlauts in general. Mark, you're always looking for more umlauts.
Like, it actually, the listeners and girls, it doesn't look that similar, but it gave me vibes.
Dude,
that's
what
it was.
That
sick.
Looks fucking. I would get the hell out of
it's so sick.
Jersey.
Yeah.
If he ever plays for the Avs, I'm getting that shit.
Oh, let's get him. Avs.
Is he good?
He's a decent depth guy.
Okay, cool. Third line, fourth line?
Hard. Yeah. I mean, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Hard four checker.
That would be
not
sick.
Very skilled.
That would be a sick jersey to have.
Hey, when they're setting the trap for the last remaining alien, she has the head in the bag. The head weighs nothing. Like it's never more clear that there's been a prop for something than when she pulls the head out, and it has almost no mass to it whatsoever.
I don't know how much a head would weigh.
That's
an interesting question.
According to MythBusters, about 8-9 pounds.
Interesting. Okay, good to know.
And this was
I feel
nothing.
Like you, I can move. I can move an 8-pound weight around like pretty easily.
Yeah, but not as no. She's
not
just holding it.
No,
problem.
Not as like a seventh grader, certainly. And that brings me to what one of the things that I had highlighted as a nitpick, which is that so the whole world here is a bit of a nitpick, where everyone disappears from this town. After about roughly midnight, and I'm totally guessing at the timestamp here because mixer, but there's a girl in the middle of like the town square, holding up a severed head.
Yep.
And looking at it, delivering poorly delivered lines, being like, look how bad and stinky this head is. Ah!
Look at its mouth.
There are no cops. There are no grandparents.
They got pissy drunk.
Apparently everyone in the town is literally at this like gymnasium.
That's
mixer.
Kind of believable to me, man.
There's a single person in this town of 500 to 1,000. What's the grandma doing? What's the grandma doing?
Yeah,
the grandma
granny.
Was
She's drunk. There was a line about that.
There is, but like no one's looking out their window being like, what the fuck is going on? She's holding a severed head.
Nah,
there was
also
my goodness.
The window. The fact that the protagonist's dad is home indicates there was a whole scene where all the adults made their way from the gymnasium to their homes and missed all of this.
And found multiple dead bodies and blood splatter.
Drunk, Mark. Drunk. You know when you're drunk and you ignore dead bodies and just keep walking?
I do. All together.
Well, that was
mean
to me. I know that you specifically do. I was there, but you know.
Remember that time? It was a whole Stand By Me thing. I'm like, oh, we'll come back later. I'll get Jack, I'll get Jake, and we'll play some music, and we'll walk along some railroad ties, and we'll find this dead body, and it'll be like a bonding experience.
God, that movie's so good.
And it sure was.
But honestly, I think that is the nitpickiest thing about this entire movie is like, she's holding a severed head in the town square.
I put it in Doug's middle. Right?
And there's just like
I
no
like
one there.
Like, I like that it's like they're gone. We don't have to worry about it, but it is annoying.
There's like 300 people in this town.
I think it's all exacerbated by the fact that it could be like 3 a.m. If it's like 3 a.m., 4 a.m., fine.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to be asleep. But the fact that it's during the summer solstice where the days are, it's just all day and no night. And it's just, she's standing out there and it's like, it looks like it's noon.
Yeah.
Fuck.
It is confusing.
it's so
This
rough.
Is changing pace. I do want to know what girl who's, I'm not like you. And then she takes care of the kids in the container.
I think her name, hold on.
The
hold
rich
on,
girl.
Yeah. I want to know what the story is there a little bit. Like. Their nice house and their classical music, they kind of blow it out in the 3 minutes that they give to it, right?
There's so many jokes and like quips about how rich she is.
Yeah.
He seems like, so it's, I mean, none of us understand the economy of these places.
But there's like one rich house.
Yeah. Well,
she gets to go to Winnipeg multiple times a year.
Yeah.
Well, I also, it didn't really fit into a nitpick or a neat pick or a not pick or anything, but I love the economy of the girls here where it's just like, you can have my phone case and that allows me to sneak out while I'm grounded.
This is probably some real shit, dude.
Yeah, no, like, I completely agree. If you're living in this fucking town, like you're bartering with whatever you have.
Yeah.
And when you get a bike, it's flown in on a plane, that type of thing.
Yeah. And to an extent, like we didn't grow up in a town like this and we did that shit.
Right, kids.
It's like, I'll trade you this fucking Pokemon card if you'll do my chores for a week or some shit.
Or not even that. It's like when you're sitting at the lunch table and you're like, hey, I can have your Gushers if you have my fruit roll-up or whatever.
God, who would fucking trade a Gushers for fruit roll-ups? What a loot.
Oh,
getting rid of
I might
fruit roll-ups suck.
I might take, you can have my fruit roll-up. I'll trade you my fruit roll-up for your Gushers.
I want the Gushers.
I want the Gushers.
You guys. Yes. I'm saying fruit roll-ups suck.
We are Billy Madison and Madisoning so hard right now. Donkey Kong sucks.
No,
something
Kong
you
rules.
Suck.
I'll take Donkey Kong. Donkey Kong in a fight. Anyway.
Oh,
Donkey
God.
Kong's better than Mario.
So you're on Billy Madison's side.
Sure. I don't know, but yes, I guess.
Mm-hmm. When they go to the protagonist's dad's house, her house, after that whole fight ensues, she gets knocked over by the bookcase. Then she wakes up some amount of time later, the exact same thing's happening. What is her friend, I think her name is Jess, doing? She's just been standing there for minutes while this girl struggled under the bookcase and her dad was getting attacked by an alien and her friend's just there like, I guess I'll just sit down for a minute.
Yeah, so that's kind of the other piece about this is the action sequences are not choreographed well. I'm going to go ahead and assume that when she lost consciousness for 1 second and just popped right back
up. The only way it makes any sense at all.
Yeah.
Because, you're right. It's like she's protecting, because I think there are kids in the background of that scene, right?
No, all the kids are gone, I think.
I think
she yanked him out from under the alien. Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, maybe she's just like doing a thing where she's trying to be like, she doesn't know what's happening, but that's the only way this makes any sense. There's a lot of that in this movie where it doesn't make sense if you pause and think about what people should be doing here.
Yeah. No, no. All the kids are in the storage container at that point.
She already got the kids. I don't know if that's true.
She got her sister and all the other kids.
This is a town of 900 to 1,000 people. Like,
she got big. She got her sister who was hanging out with the only other relevant kids.
Yeah, yes, that is also happening. But I think there are also kids just in the mix here.
In her dad's house that aren't her sister?
I don't think that's right.
Okay, whatever. It truly doesn't matter.
Correct. This is so stupid.
I'm out of nitpicks. Let's go to fucking ratings,
dude.
Yeah,
let's do it.
Unbelievable.
We over at ADC Horror use a 1 through 10 rating system to rate the movies we'd watch. For one, think of how Ray Davies would rate the likelihood that he'll forget a day you gave him. And for 10, think of how you'd rate how honest the sailor was in Brandy. But he had always told the truth, Lord, it was an honest man. Stories, the first guy to rate these movies. I picked the thing. I'm going to rate it for story. Okay. Complicated.
Okay.
Complicated. I'm giving it a 7 for story.
That's a take.
But, one, I like, obviously it's a very simple story, just like nuts and bolts wise. It's got a lot of good homages to other horror that are there and that are clear and that it's paying tribute to, and that's very fun. I'm giving it props for that. Also, I talked about this when we brought up the authenticity. I don't think you can discount the writing, how much it trusts the viewer to just understand that this is authentic without explaining it and feel the authenticity therein. I think that's a writing thing. I'm putting that into writing here.
Fair.
And so that's why it's getting so many points. But it is a very simple story and kind of just like aliens showed up and then peaced. I gave it a 7, Jake. And that's why I gave it that. What about you, Jake?
I gave it a 6. I don't disagree with what you're saying. I'm probably just putting a little bit more of the balance into immersion, so this will be boring.
Yeah, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, I gave it a 6. This is a fastball of a story. If you're boiling this thing down, aliens attack a small town, kids fight back.
Then
done.
Leave.
Which is solid. It's not
transcendent.
It's not good, it's not bad,
transcendent.
And on balance, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's
good.
It's better than average. So
a little bit better than average. We're relying on that, yeah.
World building and immersion is second, and I gave it a 3 for world building and immersion. And I think it might be too penalizing.
Now we're leveling
there,
out.
But I really appreciate everything it did. It's not an easy movie to like sit through and watch and be immersed in. It's wooden acting from start to finish. Now, the world building is absolutely impeccable. So there could I could see you making an argument for
I don't even
a
know
lot.
If I'd say that, because this town feels simultaneously like it's populated by like 30 people versus 100 people versus 1,000 people. But
sure.
I appreciate what you're saying. Like the small town elements of this are good.
It has a good sense of place, I guess.
But it also seems like I truly don't understand. They like clearly shot within one block of this town. Yeah. Even though this town has to have been bigger than that.
For sure. For sure. But I gave it a 3. It's a tough one to sit through from an immersion standpoint for me, Jake.
I gave it a 4.5.
Fuck.
I mean, it's basically the same reasons, but like we gushed about how important authenticity is. And I know you're not disagreeing with that now at the end, Jack, but like it has to go somewhere. It's certainly not my immersion. It certainly is the world building. So then the task is how do you balance it? And I guess I just gave it like slightly more points for that aspect.
Fair enough. Yeah. Mark?
Essentially the same. I gave it a 4. It's mostly, I'm detracting here because of the wooden delivery, the performances, but like overall the world building is interesting here. I think I just excoriated you for exactly saying that. So whatever, let's move along.
That's going to take us into Scare Factor, and it's a 3 for Scare Factor for me. It's very low.
It's correct. You nailed it.
It's
I also gave it a 3. I'm just going to take it over. I also gave it a 3.
Okay.
It's not a scary movie.
The monsters look kind of creepy, though. They're weird. Creepy. Jake?
I gave it a 3.5.
Okay.
Sorry, guys.
I had a chance to circle the wagons, but I thought they were just that much more
creepy,
I guess.
Yeah, you totally didn't circle the wagons. Fuck
I know.
You.
Unbelievable.
You iconoclast.
I thought that there was a lot of good work done to make these alien things look very unsettling. Ultimately,
that
it's not a very effects. It's not a very large part of the film, but they do make an impact while they're on screen. I feel like I could have gone higher, actually. I didn't.
Yeah.
Sure.
Fair.
That's going to take us into effects, which is just like there. I gave it a 6. Jake, I agree with you. A ton of work was done into making these things look creepy and look good. And man, I don't know what the budget of this movie is, but it doesn't feel like it was huge.
Low.
And it looks fucking pretty great. It's a big judicious lack thereof movie, but it looks really good. It never really looks bad. It's a 6 for me.
It's funny because like judicious lack thereof to a degree, right? But like they made a couple human suits and they made those work for them. They used
it does
the
seem
hell
like,
out of those.
It does seem like they used like literal human suits. They built a human suit that was just 20% larger than a human. They were like, human, here, sit in this.
And and do that shit because it's fucking rad. Like, I thought this looked great and I was happy with the fact that they didn't do a ton of it, but with what they did do, they utilized a lot of it, I guess is what I'm trying to say here. I gave it a 7 because I thought there was a unique aspect to the human suit element and the fact they didn't shy away from using it. Plus, it moved weird. So add all three of those together.
The move weird is an important
aspect. And you add those together, and this is a pretty memorable little alien villain thing. I liked it. Oh, plus audio.
Oh,
unique and good.
Yeah, good call. Yep. Hallucination always rules. Mark.
I also gave it a 7. So Jake and I are in agreement. I think overall we're all in agreement.
Yep.
The villain here looks fantastic.
Yes, 100%.
They are, within the film, comparing themselves against the Thing, and that's hard because the original Thing and Carpenter were an amazing triumph of cinema.
My favorite horror movie of all time, probably.
I think that the weird, like, human rubber suit here that they're wearing is one of the most, like, as far as recent examples of this go, it's an absolutely astounding, wonderful execution of this weird, like, shapeshifter thing. I love it. I don't want to belabor it. You guys have already weighed in on it. 7.
Yep.
That's going to take us into overall, and I'm going to give this movie a 6 overall. It's, I'm really glad this movie exists. It's really cool. It's really fun. It's not the best watch from start to finish, but it's a really... I'm really happy this movie exists. It's intellectually very, very, very good. Jake?
Same reason, 6.5.
Mark?
Same reason, 6. I like, yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah.
We're
pretty much in lockstep here, guys. Yeah.
It's recommendable.
To who the hell would you recommend this?
To whom the hell would you recommend
it? Thank you. Jack had it. Yeah.
I think I'd recommend this more than like any of the... I'd recommend this more than Triangle. I'd recommend this more than Bubba Ho-Tep.
I mean, certainly more than Bubba Ho-Tep. I don't think more than Triangle for me, but that's fine.
This is a good movie. This is a really good movie. I liked it more in my second viewing.
It's for the
extremes,
that's
interesting.
Though.
That's interesting because you were so unhappy when I picked it. I assumed you wouldn't like it more on
your
second viewing.
The only reason I didn't like it when you picked it was because I just watched it and I didn't want to watch it again.
I'm now realizing that.
The only reason I was upset was because of pure laziness.
I kind of assumed you didn't like it.
No. It's an endearing movie. It's charming. I really like watching this movie. I just don't like it any time that I've watched a movie within the last month and we pick it again.
I get you. Yeah, I just...
that's all that is.
Yeah.
I'd recommend this to creature feature fans.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about how it's to the extreme, so I'm a little bit surprised by both of your responses. I think this is more of a deep cut, honestly. I do think that the typical human might not... I don't want to say they wouldn't get it, man, but they kind of wouldn't get it, man. Like, artistic element to this that I just don't think is... I think it's going to be lost on normal people.
Weirdly,
certainly.
I'd kind of recommend it to Mumblegore fans.
Well, certainly. Yeah, I mean, yes. If you're aware of what Mumblegore is and you're a
then
fan
you will
of it,
like
then
this.
Yes. But I think what I... Like, if you've seen The Thing, I'd recommend this to you. And in that, what I'm saying is, like, as part of that Venn diagram, there's a very small population of the world that's seen the thing. And if you've seen it, then you will probably also like this. But if you haven't seen it, then, like, go on about your merry way and continue to watch.
Tell your parents to watch it. See what happens.
I am curious.
I'm going to tell my parents to watch it and see what happens. They both
they will actually
my parents fucking love the thing.
They've seen the thing. So that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Cool.
I'm literally getting texts from my family right now about horror movies.
If you have seen the thing, you should watch this. That's what I'm saying.
I'm getting texts from my family right now. This is from my aunt about horror movies.
I'm not going to read
this one's the pale blue eye. The pale blue eye. Have you seen this yet? No, I haven't. I was literally just talking about it. But I'm going to tell them to watch this one instead.
Okay.
See what happens.
Do it.
Okay. My God.
Let's get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
This has been episode 271 of the A to Z Horrorcast. If you're still here hanging out with us and you like what we got going on, you can head down to the links in the description below. There are fewer than there used to be. We no longer have a website. I think that that's worth mentioning on the podcast at some point. Hey, we're more focused on the podcast now. Life changes. We aren't doing written content anymore. That's just how it works. The Patreon is where
people don't like reading.
The Patreon is where you want to go if you want to get some extra episodes, maybe some great perks. Know that your money's going somewhere good. As Jack mentioned at the top of the episode, it is going to continue going to Planned Parenthood for the foreseeable future. Also, the music that you're hearing right now, there are links down there in the description below, too. This is coming at you from Super Bear, as always. Next week, we got a Mark pick from the new crop coming at you. It is going to be Girl House, and that's going to be coming at you roughly 1 week from today. Who am I to say? Until then, get your buddies, grab some beers, and go watch some horror movies. Have a great weekish, everybody.
Because his mittens fall off because he can't do his
those were gloves.
Those were gloves.
I can't tell the difference.
Well, I mean, they had
fingers.
Well,
that's a different problem.
That's a Mark problem, I understand.